The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Must be seeing the same thing I am, and that's incredible diminution of time. It's just almost vanishing. There's 2.5 days at the most for a 5-day week now. It just goes that quickly. No more seams between the days. It's all run together. It's just the amount of information, partly, but I think there are other things involved as well. Tom Carey and Don Schmidt on tonight, and they're on the second Friday of each month. Don Schmidt and Tom are, without question, two of the most legendary researchers into this whole ET UFO thing and this rotten, vile, insulting cover-up, which appears now to once again be maybe being let go to some degree. It's hard to tell. It's kind of like they let out a little line, then they reel it back in. They play games all the time. We had a big story, and it's actually quite large in its punch because it's got a lot of different angles to it that are absolutely classic. That's the apparent landing of a craft in the backyard of a Las Vegas family. Not a little backyard with green grass, but probably a half an acre, maybe even an acre, of a big yard in the back, and they have RVs. Couple RVs parked there. They have drone footage of it. You'll see it in the story. They have a John Deere front loader, which is a piece of heavy equipment with a big bucket in the front, and other things. Well, KLAS TV Channel 8, and I used to work in Las Vegas, has George Knapp, who's a wonderful reporter. And George got involved with this. I figured he would, and really took over the investigation and found out a lot of things. We're going to play that exact story that appeared on KLAS TV 8 in Las Vegas with George, and get Don and Tom to comment on this, because it has all the ingredients of something that is clearly of great importance. I can't see this as a fraud at this point. It doesn't work. But there's more to that we're going to talk about. More than that, I should say. And it's a busy work week for those of us in this business who care about our visitors, who have obviously been living on this planet and or visiting it forever. So Don and Tom, welcome back. Hello, Don. How goes it?
Hey, Jeff. Great to be back. So, yeah, it's a busy week, as you say, and the days are running together, but it's as though we're on this roller coaster, and the media's been... It's not that they've been trying to jump on. It's that they've been at a different park all these years. And for them to turn around and now act as though, well, you know, we've been on this story all along. And
oh, they're scum. Just scum. I hate them. I just hate them.
I like the article that was just in The Hill today regarding the David Grush whistleblower testimony. And how come we've never heard about this before? That's all he went. He lamented on and on and on. And it's like, because you've had your head in the sand all these years. It's been coming off for the last 45 years. And you people have never paid attention to it.
I think it's just because of
competition that you want to be on the front lines. Because,
of course. Oh, yeah. We all knew about this. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
it's crap.
Yeah.
They're liars. They're just complete
liars
and frauds.
They're willing accomplices, and we're onto them. We're onto them. I turned down being on David Letterman years ago because I knew he wouldn't treat the subject seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I'm happy that both Tom and I are way beyond that. We're very selective about who we talk to, and that's why we're with you again tonight, Jeff. So
well, I'm very appreciative and honored because you guys have been heroes of mine for as long as I can remember. And again, I think the first time you were on, or one of you was on at least, was in, what was it, Tom, 1998? I think that's how far back we traced it.
Yes, I think the last show we did, you had someone check our first visit was, and I think it was 1998 or 1999.
Exactly. I would lean toward 98. Now, let's go through this. First things first, and I guess the first story was the claim that the U.S. government military, the military-industrial complex, has around a dozen ET craft crashed or captured intact or whatever. Now, this is old news to those of us who have been in this field for a long time. That kind of a contention would be expected to be true. This goes back to Cape Girardeau. Something crashed in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and it wasn't thrown in the trash. I guarantee it. So that goes to 1941. Then we have Roswell and many, many stories in the interim that we don't even know about. And then the Virginia crash in Brazil. What happened to that piece of hardware? The Americans, by the way, were all over that within hours. When that craft
that
went
they
down
were, Jeff,
or landed.
You're absolutely correct. Yeah. You're absolutely correct. The fact that, and that's one of the telling questions that we always ask regarding any foreign case. Were there American suits involved? And when they are, you know it's a good case. You know they're taking charge.
And you know it's going to be covered up.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And it's because you know what placed America in the driver's seat on this topic since day one. And that's Roswell.
They have, the Americans have crash retrieval teams positioned in multiple countries around the world on 24-hour call. They're all there, just waiting for the call, and then they pounce. Happens.
I think in Virginia. Don can correct me on this. Wasn't there a program out of Wright-Patterson in the 60s, Operation Blue Fly or something like that?
Moondust.
Moondust, that's right.
Yes, right. That was supposedly for the recovery of space debris, space artifacts, and it wasn't specific as to whether they were ours or someone else's. But the project indeed did originate out of Wright-Pat, of all places, and we don't know what their success level was, but it did exist.
The thing that bothered me about this whistle, and I've been reading all week trying to get my details correct. There's so many different programs, 11 in all, Jeff, beginning in 1948 with Project Sign. And now with this, I got to read this name because they keep changing the name of these projects. It's called, the UAP Task Force, Unidentified Aerial or Anomalous Phenomena Task Force, but they changed the name on it. I guess to confuse us. That's the only thing I can think of.
It's to confuse the issue.
The All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. Now, how's that for a?
Come on.
Yes.
I didn't know this. That's a whopper.
Because they've identified, you know, one of these three videos that came out in 2019. One was called Tic Tac, the other was Go Fast, and the other was Gimbal. Well, one of them was underwater, so they had to somehow fit in these underwater ones into the title. So the UAP task force is out because we got underwater ones now. So it's now All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, ARRO for short, and that's the current current task force, and it's covering up just like the other ones. The head of it is a fellow named Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick, and he was testified a week or two ago at the Senate committee chaired by Kirsten Gillibrand. That they have found, and I have to read this, they have yet encountered any evidence that UAP, that's unidentified anomalous phenomenon, have an extraterrestrial origin. Now, you can take that two ways. You can say, oh, well, there's nothing extraterrestrial, or something that they do have, but that it's not extraterrestrial, it's something else. So it's a little... a little mystery there to me, anyway. So, cover up still in place. NASA has also gone on the record with a little press release that they, because they're conducting their own investigation outside of the Defense Department, they're conducting their own because they're experienced in the space and air. You know, the atmosphere and space that more experience than the Defense Department, but they also say they have found nothing of a UAP variety, and they're both lying. I can tell you that they're both lying because Don knows as well as I do that according to the former head of the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, General Arthur Exon. He was the head of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, a general in the mid-1960s. He told us in person that within 20 minutes, the government knew what they had on their hands, and it was something from space. And that's from the commanding officer at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, telling us.
You talked to him
numerous times.
In person.
Wow, very good.
I mean, and as Tom alluded to, he was there when the records from Roswell actually arrived. He was training. He was a lieutenant colonel at that time at T2, which would become Foreign Technology Division. And he was fully aware of the fact that they were preparing the labs. They were about to do all the tensile and the strength and the microscopic testing, and all the type of things that you would never do with a weather balloon. First of all, you wouldn't be testing it to begin with, no matter where it arrived, where it came from. And that he said that he stated to us over and over again that the unanimous conclusion of the labs at Wright Field at T2 regarding the Roswell wreckage was that the materials came from space. What? They weren't from here. It's that simple. Right. So the point being, Jeff, you know, Tom and I, we've had whistleblowers, and even before our involvement, going all the way back with Stanton Friedman, with the late Jesse Marcel, the head of intelligence at Roswell in 47, and when he went public in 1978, and he said that the materials from Roswell were not from this Earth. And we could add dozens more. The point being, we've had whistleblowers for the past 35 years, and where has the media been? Well, how convenient that they wait till they're all passed away, they're all gone, and it's like now all of a sudden we'll come out with secondhand sources who claim, well, I have anonymous sources, and I can't show you anything, I can't present anything, but trust me.
Right. Well, it's an obscenity. We have a birthright to know these things. Who the hell are they to keep that information from us? It's
precisely.
Disgusting. All right, let's go to, one more question. If we have a dozen crashed craft, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we had two dozen. Point is, much of it apparently was kept for a while, a long while, at Wright-Patterson. It may have been moved to S4. There's another alleged base in southern Utah. It's a super high security base that people don't even talk about. It could be there.
Which Tom and I wrote about extensively in our last book, because we are convinced that is where some of the bodies presently are located.
Right, right.
Dugway.
And they have bodies, friends, and not just little gray bodies.
And we have witnesses to that effect. There again, yeah, we have whistleblowers, Jeff. We have whistleblowers to that effect that the bodies are at Dugway.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Five of them.
Oh, and they're not all the same. They probably have different kinds of ET bodies. They probably have the insectoids, and they got them all.
Jeff, the thing that bothers me with this latest whistleblower is the only crash recovery that I am certain of is Roswell. That's the only one that I'm certain of. There may have been others, but what bothers me is I think he said there are like 8 or 9 of them, something like that. But where in Roswell, we have so many witnesses to the recovery. And apparently these other ones, there are either no witnesses somehow, or that's the part I don't get, is that somewhere along the line some witnesses would have come forward and we would have be aware of some of these other crash retrievals that he's talking about. But the only one that had witnesses that I know of, outside of, one witness is not good enough. You have to have more than one. The only one that has multiple witnesses, which I would expect to any crash retrieval, is Roswell.
I would think that the crash retrieval boys and girls jump on these things so quickly, and it's very easy to round up any civilian witnesses and scare the holy hell out of them. They've done that since Roswell.
Right.
Yeah, but we know about Roswell for sure. They intimidated people, threatened them with death and all this stuff. So that's
that
not hard.
That they did.
All right.
But some still came forward, though, Jeff. Some still came
forward. Bless them. Yeah, they did. All right, we're going to go to Las Vegas now. I'm going to play the George Knapp version. They had a couple of them that were in circulation, but George got into it, as he always does. He's their go-to guy with UFO ET stories, and he did a really good job. Now, I'm going to let you both have seen this video I sent to you.
Okay. Yes.
I did not see the George Knapp part. I saw the rest of it, but I didn't see the George Knapp part.
Really? He opens it. Starts opening it very shortly after the anchors say, "Hi, how are you? We have a story," and they cut to George Knapp.
I saw the anchors, well, you had, Jeff, when
George,
that
George at 0:36, George Knapp is shown. Check your video. You may have a different version. I want you to see this. Because George presents, he's really a pro. He's good. A lot of little things that the other stories from the station, by the way, did not present. And we'll see how many of you listening will catch these as you hear the audio portion of it. Do you see George at 36 seconds?
I'm afraid to change my... I'm afraid I'll lose my connection here.
Oh, all right. Well, that's okay. You can look at it later. All right, Don, I'm going to go ahead and play this, and we're all going to listen. And it'll be in news headlines here going up within the hour. So here's KLAS TV Channel 8 in Las Vegas, and they're handling. This is the best version of the story that they presented. All right, here we go.
With stories about the crash of an unknown object and the alleged sighting of strange creatures in the backyard of a Northwest Valley home.
So it was last night that 8 News Now investigator David Charnes reported about how Metro Police responded back on May 1st after receiving a strange call from a very...
Keep in mind, this is May 1st. This is a month and a half ago.
Right.
It's just now getting out.
Frightened family. Well, our report generated a global response, and now piecing together the sequence of events has been kind of tricky, in part because the primary witnesses have been almost as elusive as the beings they say they encountered. Chief Investigator George Knapp is as perplexed as the rest of us, George.
As you know, this is not our first UFO rodeo. We first heard about the incident in early May via the Metro Police grapevine. The incident has a lot in common with other bizarre cases from around the world, an alleged crash, strange beings, and bits and pieces that don't make sense. But the police took this seriously, and so do we. Just before midnight on April 30th, skywatchers across several western states saw a bright fireball streak through the heavens. A police officer working in the Northwest Valley caught a glimpse of the colorful object on his body cam. At nearly the same time, a Ring camera in the area recorded a strange noise and what sounds like a crash. One family living in a ranch-style home had a much closer view of the object. Two brothers and their father were working on a vehicle in their yard when they caught a glimpse of a sparkly object as it came crashing down, then were hit by what they describe as a shockwave. One of the witnesses, a young man named Angel, has stated when the brothers looked into the yard where the object landed, that spot was obscured and blurry, as if by unknown form of camouflage. What they saw next prompted a frantic call to 911.
So there's two people or two subjects that are in your backyard?
Correct, and they're very large. They're like 8 foot, 9 feet, 10 foot. I don't know. They look like aliens to us. Big eyes. They have big eyes.
Okay.
Like I can't explain it. And big mouth. They're shiny eyes, and they're not human. They're 100% they're not human.
8 News Now investigators have spoken with family members multiple times in the past 4 weeks, but each of the 3 times we accepted their invitation to do an interview, they didn't answer the door or their phone. These are some of the claims they've made in other public forums. Multiple family members backed up the story in an initial police report we obtained. Angel says they heard the patter of multiple feet in the yard. They later heard footsteps on their roof. They saw one of the 8-foot-tall creatures climb behind the controls of a large front loader stored in the yard as if trying to engage it. He got a good look at one of the creatures, he said, a greenish-grayish being with large eyes and long legs. He says he could hear its deep breaths, and when he locked eyes, he was, in essence, frozen in place, couldn't move. In the middle of the yard, where the object had crashed, then vanished, a circular impression was left in the soil.
Okay, where is this on your property?
Metro sources say the police dispatcher initially wondered whether to send a crisis intervention team to help the troubled witness, but then took the incident seriously. 2 officers arrived 38 minutes after the call, and by then had heard from other officers. They proceeded cautiously and managed some nervous laughs.
I ain't dealing with that.
A few days later, the family says, 2 Metro sergeants returned to the scene to ask follow-up questions. The family says they also saw men in suits and sunglasses driving in a car with government plates cruising slowly past the house in the following days. Nellis and Creech have denied any interest or involvement with the incident. Metro has indicated they believe the family that something crashed in their yard. But what?
You know, you mentioned, George, in that piece that, you know, they were frozen because so many people have been critical of, like, why didn't get their phone out? Why didn't they shoot the video? Do we know if there's even any video of this incident?
Okay, this is a key point right here. Why didn't they get their phone out?
Yes and no. So there's a surveillance camera in the backyard. The property owner keeps that because he's got a lot of expensive equipment there. What we were told is that at the moment this thing comes down and crashed, this camera went out, and it was out for a couple of minutes. When it came back on, the object was gone, but the circle was there. We've been told by Angel in multiple phone conversations that he shot video of the creatures. We haven't seen it, and we don't know anybody else who's seen it yet, so maybe he'll release it at some point.
It's getting a lot of attention.
Yeah, all over.
All right, George, thanks for that.
Okay. Just for fun, let's pick it up with the alleged filming of the creatures that the young man claims he did. What are the odds right now that he still is in possession of his own footage?
Zero.
Did you know that most of the problems in our body are due to...
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Well, Tom said zero, and I would agree. In fact, there again, an example of where the suits are so quick to pounce on these stories.
Well, they said that there were two government men in suits and sunglasses driving back and forth. And the other report said it was an SUV, so it sounds like a men in black SUV operation. Whether they're actually men in black and whoever those people really are, they were government. It's obvious. They don't drive back and forth for fun. This is northwest Las Vegas, way out there on the edge area of town. When you looked at that footage of their supposed backyard, Don, you could see the circle right there.
Yes.
They call this
a
crash. I would not call it a crash. I would call it a landing.
A
landing under duress, whatever, but it was a landing.
But they should be able to come into that circular area. They should be able to use penetrometers and determine if anything of any...
You bet.
Yeah. So there's so much that still can be done. I mean, it wasn't a grassy area. It was it was dirt. It was sand. It was gravel, whatever the case may be, because they showed it from a drone altitude.
Right.
But this idea that, and I saw where the tractor with the shovel, the front loader, that these beings were there for some amount of time,
get in that device. Yeah, this guy said he crawled in there, sat behind the instruments. In other words, the dashboard.
And it heard footprints up on the roof.
Right.
And so, to me, it was the shades of the Sutton family back in 55 and Kelly Hopkinsville, where the creatures were either up on the roof or they were peering in through the windows and they were being shot at. And so for the extended period of time involved, yes, you would certainly think that, especially today, that somebody would have captured something on film, something as far as from their cell phone. And I think it'd be just as big a story to say that I had it. Yeah. My phone was confiscated, and I want my phone back.
Again.
Yeah, but I want my phone back.
I was thinking of Kelly Hopkinsville too, Zon.
Yes.
Although I think that Kelly Hopkinsville, they were small goblin-like creatures, but
right.
The size is what struck me. The boy said they were like 10 feet tall, and big eyes and green and all that. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what is he talking about? And so this was something completely different than Roswell, which was a nuts and bolts type situation.
He also said that the beings had big mouths, which is unusual.
Right, which is totally contrary also.
Yes, yes.
To the classic description. But I think what's most important for both of you gentlemen is the fact that the media is presenting this as though it's almost, you know, the timing is that of, you know, the current whistleblower situation, when, as we all know, in reality, it happened over a month ago. So it's not like one spawned the other. I mean, it's a separate incident altogether that has nothing to do with the current, you know, news cycle.
I only heard about it tonight. I told Jeff.
Right.
I was watching Jesse Waters' show, and he had a nice segment on it. They interviewed the boy, and the boy, to me, I thought he was telling the truth about what he claimed he saw. He had a ring of truthfulness. He was actually, you know, he was excited. He was upset. He was, to me, it looked like something happened. Jesse also had the shot of the craft descending over.
Well, if that was the craft, now that green thing that came down, may not have been involved with this. That green thing could have been hundreds of miles away. We don't know.
That's right. It appeared like your classic, you know, meteorite coming in. Even
that's right.
The color.
Some of them burn green like that.
Some
that's
of them
common.
Burn green, especially and, in the Southwest. Yeah. They burn green.
Right. I'm not convinced that there was any relationship at all. In fact, there were allegedly reports of that green thing coming down from far, far away from Las Vegas. A lot of people saw it. It was
which again would suggest that it was something at considerable altitude and distance. And we all know that meteors, I had a case many years ago where they could have sworn it came down in the neighbor's backyard. And in reality, it was a state removed. It was 300 miles further from that location, and it was a meteor.
Right. So that may or may not be tied to this other craft that landed in their backyard. And the crew or the occupants got out and not only jumped up on the roof and were walking around, but crawled over and climbed up into the John Deere front-loading tractor. It's a big diesel tractor with a big bucket on the front. So what
are
they doing?
To make their escape. They hightail it out of, or maybe they wanted to get downtown. I'm joking at the moment. But that's an odd thing that they would be, and something that big, would it even fit in the cab?
Well, they're tall. Those, if you look at them, it can happen. They have to scrunch down. His height statements went from 8 feet to 10 feet, so he didn't know. He was shook up. He's about a 17, 18-year-old kid.
Right, right.
And something like that. So I found it to be very credible and a very good case, which really should be still at this moment given full attention by MUFON or any researchers.
Well, George is there. But George is there. And
he'll do it.
He will have the funding. He will have the funding as far as the TV station there to some extent.
Yeah. And George,
so he'll have that advantage. And his background, he'll leave no stone unturned.
No. George, if you're listening, really good job on that. And I know you're going to follow up as much as humanly possible with this. But
George has also had his share of MIB experiences dealing with the feds.
Yes, he has.
And he has described to me on a number of occasions, again, the black SUVs, where he has been on an investigation, and the next thing, they're being followed by one of these black SUVs. So this will ring true for him.
Oh, sure.
And I think
he couldn't have
established
a better man on the scene. I hope he's able to do
some
something.
People that he can call and he can make inquiries. He can ask. Do you have your agents, in the Vegas area at this particular time, and on this day, that type of thing? And he'll get answers that many others wouldn't.
I couldn't agree more. So we will see. I'd like to play this again just so the smaller details. You listening, you'll be able to remember them because they go by very quickly. So I'm going to just roll this again. It's only 4 or 5 minutes. Here we go.
It is a police call. Everybody will be talking about. Thanks for joining us here at 6 o'clock. I'm Denise Valdez.
I'm Brian Loftus. A family says something crashed into their backyard, prompting them to call 911, saying they saw creatures walking around.
Our 8 News Now investigators digging into this for weeks now. And tonight, our David Charnes with the video you will only see on 8 News Now. David?
Brian, Denise, sources telling...
This is the wrong one. This is a David Charnes version, so I apologize. Let me go and copy-paste... the correct link over. I don't know how that one came up. All right. Let me pull this over here. It's the details that go by very quickly that are often the most important in these stories.
Mm-hmm.
And there were several that were really excellent. Hold on. Okay.
Tonight with stories about the crash of an unknown object and the alleged sighting of strange creatures in the backyard of a Northwest Valley home.
So it was last night that 8 News Now investigator David Charnes reported about how Metro Police responded back on May 1st after receiving a strange call from a very frightened family. Well, our report generated a global response, and now piecing together the sequence of events has been kind of tricky, in part because the primary witnesses have been almost as elusive as the beings they say they encountered. Chief Investigator George Knapp is as perplexed as the rest of us, George.
As you know, this is not our first UFO rodeo. We first heard about the incident in early May via the Metro Police grapevine. The incident has a lot in common with other bizarre cases from around the world, an alleged crash, strange beings, and bits and pieces that don't make sense. But the police took this seriously, and so do we. Just before midnight on April 30th, skywatchers across several western states saw a bright fireball streak through the heavens. A police officer working in the northwest...
That's why I mentioned that I don't think this fireball necessarily is attached or connected to the craft that landed, not crashed, in those people's backyards. Several states...
You know, that's one of the amusing aspects of this, the way the media... keeps using that word crashed. And what's so funny is the same media often refers to Roswell as the landing, not a crash. So it's like, are you intentionally distorting the details right out of the gate, to create, confusion, with the general public?
I think they picked up the idea of crash from this meteorite that came down and crashed, so they're linking the two. They're thinking that this orange object that came down through the sky and hit the ground was seen by people in several states. They think that was the same thing, so they're calling it a crash.
Right, right.
It's just not...
But then you have the circle on the property.
No.
And then, so where's the crash?
No, not a crash.
It clearly
not
was
a
just
crash.
A touchdown.
Yes, of course.
Alley caught a glimpse of the colorful object on his body cam. At nearly the same time, a Ring camera in the area recorded a strange noise and what sounds like a crash. One family living in a ranch style...
I want to hear that again. Now, this doesn't sound like a landing. It does sound like a possible...
Like an impact.
Or a sonic boom. Let's take a listen. Maybe it came from that green item that was making noise as it came down, however far away it was.
And it would take time to arrive.
Yep. It would. We don't have a way to calculate that here.
...heard a strange noise and what sounds like a crash. One family living in a ranch-style home had a much closer view of the object. Two brothers and their father were working on a vehicle in their yard when they caught a glimpse...
See, now George there said a much closer view of the object, saying it was that green object that was seen... by people in three states? I don't think that there's a necessary linkage there.
No, and we were talking about that earlier, that the perspective, and especially after dark, without points of reference,
that
people tend to make assumptions that are not accurate.
All right, here we go.
View of the object. Two brothers and their father were working on a vehicle in their yard when they caught a glimpse of a sparkly object as it came crashing down, then were hit by what they describe as a shockwave. One of the witnesses, a young man named Angel, has stated when the brothers looked into the yard where the object landed, that spot was obscured and blurry, as if by unknown form of camouflage. What they saw next prompted a frantic call to 911.
So there's two people or two subjects that are in your backyard?
Correct, and they're very large. They're like 8 foot, 9 feet, 10 foot. I don't know. They look like aliens to us. Big eyes. They have big eyes.
Okay.
Like I can't explain it. And big mouth. They're shiny eyes and they're not human. They're 100% they're not human.
8 News Now investigators have spoken with family members multiple times in the past 4 weeks, but each of the 3 times we accepted their invitation to do an interview, they didn't answer the door or their phone. These are some of the claims they've made in other public forums. Multiple family members backed up the story in an initial police report we obtained. Angel says they heard the patter of multiple feet in the yard. They later heard footsteps on their roof. They saw one of the 8-foot-tall creatures climb behind the controls of a large front loader stored in the yard as if trying to engage it.
He got a good look at one of the creatures, he said, a greenish-grayish being with large eyes and long legs. He says he could hear its deep breaths, and when he locked eyes, he was, in essence, frozen in place, couldn't move. In the middle of the yard, where the object had crashed, then vanished, a circular impression was left in the soil.
Okay, where is this on your property?
Metro sources say the police dispatcher initially wondered whether to send a crisis intervention team to help the troubled witness, but then took the incident seriously. Two officers arrived 38 minutes after the call, and by then had heard from other officers. They proceeded cautiously and managed some nervous laughs.
I ain't dealing with that.
A few days later, the family says, two Metro sergeants returned to the scene to ask follow-up questions. The family says they also saw men in suits and sunglasses driving in a car with government plates cruising slowly past the house in the following days. Nellis and Creech have denied any interest or involvement with the incident. Metro has indicated they believe the family that something crashed in their yard. But what?
You know, you mentioned, George, in that piece that, you know, they were frozen because so many people have been critical of, like, why didn't get their phone out? Why didn't they do the video? Do we know if there's even any video of this incident?
Yes and no. So there's a surveillance camera in the backyard. The property owner keeps that because he's got a lot of expensive equipment there. What we were told is that at the moment this thing comes down and crashed, this camera went out, and it was out for a couple of minutes. When it came back on, the object was gone, but the circle was there. We've been told by Angel in multiple phone conversations that he shot video of the creatures. We haven't seen it, and we don't know anybody else who's seen it yet, so maybe he'll release it at some point.
It's getting a lot of attention.
Yeah, all over.
All right, George, thanks for that.
Okay, so someone comes to your door with a dark suit on and sunglasses, a couple of somebodies, and they show their credentials, and they say, we'd like to talk to Angel. Angel says, yeah, I got footage of them on my cell phone. You want to see it? Whoops.
See, yeah, that you footage. Always plead ignorance.
No, I didn't take any footage, no.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's hard to be critical of people in that situation. But still, as soon as you say you've got footage, well, can we take it and make a copy? We'll give it right back to you. Don't worry, we promise we'll sign a document here. Goodbye.
I mean, God knows we've had many Roswell witnesses that cooperated and turned over physical evidence. We've had many witnesses for years that turned over photographs, never to see them again. And people that went to national laboratories with artifacts, with possible physical evidence, never to see it again. We're overly trusting of the government, but boy, is that story dead. That's not the case any longer.
No, all true. So let me ask this for fun. Have you, either one of you, ever heard of one case of the government returning confiscated or borrowed hard data or evidence or trace case materials? No, it never comes back. It's gone. They'll never see that footage again. And if he was smart and he put it away, they can get it out of him real quick. It'd scare the hell out of people, and they'll do
it. I think one of the best examples, Jeff, and it's not UFO-related, but would be the Abraham Zapruder film.
Yeah.
Of the Kennedy assassination. And he did have it returned, but when it was returned, it was altered. It had frames missing. And it wasn't the same film, so you either get it back or you get it back, in a different form.
I'm thinking of the Bill Brazel story where this is the son of Mac Brazel, the rancher, who over the next 2 years, he gathered up what he called scraps of wreckage on the ranch where the debris had fallen to earth, and he kept them in a cigar box. And one day, this would be in 1949, the two fellas from the military show up. I believe they were from the military. They could have been suits, but they show up, and they want the cigar box. Well, how did they learn of the cigar box is a mystery, but they heard about the cigar box full of scraps. And Bill Brazel said, it was clear to me that they were going to have that cigar box. So he handed it over full of the scraps that he had picked up on the ranch. never to see it again. So that's what happens.
Well, cigar box. I guess that was gone, right? They got that.
He never got it back, and
you'd think
the evidence. I mean, there was evidence in there.
2 years. I mean, I would have split the. Well, it's easy to second guess people. You don't keep it all in one place. Oh well.
Well, you're also looking back, Jeff, at post World War II, and the military walked on water at that time. And there was just a total trust and cooperation with the military. And, I mean, there was a distrust of the government. I mean, you showed up in a suit. These were the shadowy figures, like the FBI types, that were always working in the background because they knew they were suspect, that people looked at them, especially down in that region, as the revenuers. I mean, these were tax people. These were people who were looking for trouble. They were, you know, they were up to no good. But the military, and especially given that Roswell was a military base with the 1st Atomic Bomb Squadron, and there was a wonderful rapport between the civvies, the civilians, and the military up till the incident. And after that, there was just total distrust. Everyone was suspect. Everyone was an informer, and you couldn't trust anyone any longer. They ruined that entire relationship between the city of Roswell and the base.
Oh, Don and I, true. And Don knows who I'm talking about. We know one gentleman whose name you would recognize, who we are told by several people has a piece of evidence. And we've known him for years.
Uh-huh.
And when we confront him, he denies it. And I'm thinking, my goodness, he knows us personally for years. He knows what we're about. At least he could admit that he has it, but he's never going to give it up. But he denies that he has it. And to me, that's
even
a big
to you guys, I don't understand.
Even to us. And as much as we're told we're family and we're always invited, they make it a point to come see us when we're in Roswell. But what we could possibly do, Tom, is tell them, you know, you're dying and you only have so much longer to live. And maybe they'll break down and give you, you know, that one last wish. But
yeah, but it's bizarre because I believe he respects us for what we are and what we do, but he continues to lie to us. And at this point, we're 76 years away from the crash. And the case is well known. You would think, well, the pressure would be off, especially now that there is a whistleblower part of the 2023 defense appropriation law is that the people with information about Roswell are to be protected. But Don knows as well that that's not good enough for somebody, especially on like a government pension. They are just not going to break
risk,
silence,
right.
if they're being silent. They're just not going to chance it. So, but this right. particular gentleman really, I feel really almost betrayed because we've known him for years, and several people who don't know one another know him and said, he told us about having a piece of this material.
Did he show it to them?
Yes. And they're able to describe it, and they describe it from witness to witness identically. So one of our last approaches, and I don't think we're really divulging any secrets, is that if we would be just provided the one-time opportunity, it's not that we would expose them or have a press conference and announce that we saw something, that type of thing. No. But we could walk away with 100% conviction and just to our very graves, no, mission accomplished. We did it.
You deserve this. I mean, this is correct. You deserve to see this. I don't understand what's wrong with this person.
What the motivation is, I can't believe it's still fear. Maybe there's a paycheck that comes every month. I don't know.
Well, you got to start thinking like that. That's a possibility. Well, maybe the individual will change his mind.
Yeah, he is.
We haven't given up.
Is he terminal, Don?
No. And I keep checking up on that situation to make sure, because if that ever should become the case, then we're making a quick trip.
What about
the 24-hour filling station?
What about writing him a very cordial, formal note? Why are you doing this? We don't understand. We've known you for X, Y, Z. We have a wonderful relationship. Other people have claimed to have seen the artifact. For us, who have been working on this in the aggregate for, 75 years? More? 80? I don't know. We really feel like we kind of deserve to be able to look at one piece of something we've spent a lifetime researching. I just approach him that way. I don't know.
Well, we have, Jeff. And we have had private personal sit-downs where we have appealed as far as even not as investigators, but even as family friends. Someone
Got
who
it.
Has been associated with the family for over 30 years. And again, we haven't given up, but stay tuned. But again, the agreement would be we do this, but we'll never be able to say a word about it. So.
I understand. Well, you couldn't even tell me, and that's fine. I just hope you get a chance to see it. Damn.
Well, but you would see us with even greater conviction, and it would also tie up some of the loose strings that we at least could do that. And
I concur. I understand.
Yeah, the possession has continued after all these years. Or Tom, maybe it's simply a case. Well, I had it, and it either was stolen, it disappeared, it was confiscated, and I'm embarrassed that I can no longer. I don't have it. I don't have it. Well, we'd understand. So tell us even,
of course,
that much. It's just a peculiar, situation in that you would be allowed to, possess the piece. And maybe the word has been, you can show it occasionally to some close friends with the caveat that they, shouldn't repeat the event. But the two people you are to stay away from at all costs are Tom Carey and Don Schmidt. And we have had witnesses in the past that we would locate them, we'd find them, and they would say, we've been told not to talk to either of you.
Well,
so they have anticipated us.
We know also, not speaking for you two, but there are other people who have pieces.
Yes,
They never talk about it. They have them. They're out there.
We're working on a few others.
Good. Well, I hope this person comes to his or her senses.
Well, and as we even quickly, end this hour, and we didn't get into the whistleblower, but we can't emphasize enough that the whistleblower is secondhand. Once again, it's a case of talking about anonymous sources. Tom and I have named hundreds. Our sources are named. And the difference is we're still searching for the physical proof. Talk doesn't cut it. We learned that, the hard way, and that we have always sought the physical proof, and we will continue.
We always use the analogy that we moved the ball to the one-yard line, and that 1 yard we're missing is physical proof.
Even if you could hold it in your hands and see it for a minute, I mean, all the things that would mean to you both is extraordinary. I get it. Well, I hope it happens.
Thank you, Jeff. We do too. Right. We do too.
Yeah, I know. All right. Well, thank you both.
We've yet to reach our bucket list, so.
Good. All right. Thanks for both of you and all you do and for being here. And we'll talk next month. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens before then.
Okay.
Great. Thanks, all Jeff, right. As always.
Good night, Don. Good night, Tom.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye,
right.
Jeff.
Bye, Jeff. Bye-bye.
All righty. Great, great fellows. Just brilliant. And their contribution cannot possibly be overstated. And I hope they get to see a piece of that craft. They deserve it. Back in a minute. Hold on.